sports world keeps on turning. That's why we bring you Saturday Sports Talk. Kick your weekend off with the week's top headlines in sports. Get in the game by calling 656-9900 or toll free at 1-866-656-9900. Star 99 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. This is Saturday Sports Talk. Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Good Saturday morning. It is Saturday Sports Talk, Sports Radio, WNML. I'm Joel Silverberg at the Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Broadcasting. Eric Kane is out in Farragut at the Village Green Shopping Center. Kane, good morning.
The Dog Days 4 event. It is a nationally sanctioned regional canine aquatics competition. Have it every single year. And again, this is it started off yesterday here for this round. It goes through today and tomorrow, rain or shine. Some of the most athletic dogs in the world, literally. They're out here jumping. They're getting marked for height and weight and everything, and they're jumping off ramps into some water. It's some really, really cool stuff happening over here. Again, it's a three-day canine aquatics competition. It'll feature 150 furry four-legged athletes competing in three events, the Big Air, the Extreme Vertical, and the Speed Retrieve. And it's all over here at the Village Green Shopping Center, 11505 Kingston Pike in Farragut, in the parking lot just south of the Stein Mart and Planet Fitness. Rain or shine, it's going to be a good time, so come on out today. It's getting going here in about 30 minutes.
And who all, what's the protocol for attendance over there?
You just come by. I think they're asking everybody to wear a mask, obviously. Try to keep your social distance. They're complying with all the CDC procedures and everything. But they're still wanting people to come out and obviously be smart about it. But, there's going to be food and drink and everything. But they're asking everybody still to come out, but just wear your mask.
Have we gotten word from Tyler Ivins about betting odds for this upcoming year? Is there a dog that stands out among the rest?
I haven't got word from Tyler Ivins just yet, but I guarantee you, if there's anything that would really get him going, it'd be betting on some dog competitions. I feel like that's perfect for our very own Tyler Ivins.
Well, he was watching that Flyers-Canadians game yesterday, looking for that. Was it 5.5 was the over-under, or was it just 5 straight up?
It was 5.5, and I believe he took the over. So what was the final?
It was 5-0.
Oh.
You can't diss Carey Price and by taking the over in a hockey game in a playoff setting like that. So 5-0, Canadians get the win. So kind of a slap in the face to Carey Price, if I do say so myself. I think they might have been listening to the starting lineup yesterday.
If they did, then they must have been really, really bored.
Yeah, listening all the way from Toronto. But yeah, so Montreal got a 5-0 win. So Tyler, because he posted on Twitter, he said hit the over on the 5. And so I double checked and it said 5.5. So I wasn't sure if that was a typo in his tweet, but I saw that score and I was like, dang, Carey Price just shut Tyler Ivins down along with the entire Philadelphia Flyers roster. So,
and we thank him for that.
Yeah. How about that? So again, Eric Kane is out in Farragut. You can go by and say hey to him, as that's going to be going on all weekend. That's not just a today event. Got started yesterday, right, Kane?
Yeah, it got started yesterday. It's going to be going on all day today. It'll be through tomorrow as well. And again, rain or shine, the dogs are going to jump. And so if you love animals, if you love dogs, and you want to see them have fun, especially today in the rain, come on out. They're going to be going.
Are you going to try to outjump some of these dogs in the Big Air competition?
No. See, I thought it was going to be a hot one this morning, and I thought that I might just go for a little dive and kind of jump in the big pool area, but with all this rain over here, I think I'm okay.
Yeah, you're already refreshed. Again, he's at the Village Green Shopping Center, 11505 Kingston Pike in Farragut, in the parking lot just south of Stein Mart and Planet Fitness. We welcome you into Saturday Sports Talk. Kennedy Chandler committed to Tennessee yesterday, the top point guard in the class of 2021. He joined Sports Talk with Jimmy Himes and Vince Ferrara yesterday afternoon. You're going to hear a portion of that interview coming up in about a half an hour, and we will tell you something good in the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll update you on what's happening, the latest in college football with the SEC, as well as everything else. You've got fun playoff NBA action today. The NBA playoffs officially start with the play-in series. You've got the Grizzlies and the Trailblazers. If the Trailblazers win today, The Trailblazers advance to take on the Lakers. If the Grizzlies win today, they will play a decisive game two tomorrow. So it's not an even series necessarily the way that you're typically used to seeing it work out. So Eric Kane, thumbs up or thumbs down to the NBA play-in series format?
Yeah, thumbs up all the way. Listen, we went so long without having any type of sporting event, yeah, you know, whether that be professional, collegiate, high school, whatever it was. And so I'm still in this, you know, awe era of I get to watch live sporting events. And you know, no disrespect to NASCAR and the PGA. I mean, I've been watching their product, and I'm happy it came back mid-June. But there's something about team sports and you know, the basketballs, the baseballs, and hopefully the football. So not the biggest NBA guy, but I'm a big thumbs up for the play-in series here. And obviously, you know, you got to pull for the state team. It might not feel like the state team all the way out there in Memphis, but go Grizz.
Do the Grizzlies have a prayer this weekend against the Trailblazers and Damian Lillard?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, you know, obviously going to be outmatched. I mean, Dame's playing absolutely out of his mind right now. So I think the betting favorites, the odds are easily in his favor. But, you know, give Grizzlies a chance. I mean, they made it to this point in the season. But I would put all my eggs in the basket of Dame Lillard.
I will say this, and I realize that we are not in a NBA heavy market. I think everybody's a little different this time because we're happy to have sports back. But the way that this playoff race ended for the 8 seed and the 9 seed could not have gone any better for the NBA, especially since one of these potential 8 seeds, you've got such a polarizing player in Damian Lillard, where the other night you've got the Grizzlies, the Suns, and the Trailblazers all needing to win, the Spurs with an outside chance to make the playoffs. The Spurs lost the Jazz, so that didn't happen, but you had the Grizzlies and the Suns both win, meaning the Grizzlies clinch a spot. If the Trailblazers beat the Nets, they take on the Grizzlies. If the Trailblazers lose, the Grizzlies get the Suns. The Grizzlies would actually have the upper hand for the series, meaning that if the Grizzlies were to win today over Phoenix, then they would advance. The Suns would have to win on back-to-back days. You had all these potential scenarios play out. And on top of that, that Trailblazers-Nets game could not have been closer. They're trading buckets back and forth. Nets get the final possession, trailing by one. And if that bucket goes in, if that buzzer beater shot goes in, Portland is done. And this effort by the Trailblazers and Damian Lillard and the nights that he's had down there in the bubble in Orlando are all completely undone. Instead, miss the shot. Trailblazers have the 8 seed. Grizzlies have the 9 seed. The Suns go 8-0 in the bubble and still can't get into the postseason. It could not have gone any better. I don't know if we've ever been more intrigued by a playoff race for the 8 seed in the Western Conference in the NBA ever.
Only to get beat down by that top seed when it's all said and done. But no, you're right. It's been very, very entertaining. And what the Suns have done, 8-0 in the bubble, probably the most irrelevant 8-game winning streak in the history of sports because it amounted to nothing. But talk about the momentum for that young team, what it just accomplished in the Orlando bubble, moving forward to next year. But that was fun to watch. It was absolutely fun to watch. And just that's one of the exciting things about sports, just kind of leaving it all out on the field or the court, trying to give yourself a chance into the playoffs. I mean, that's why we love the play-in games in the NCAA tournament. That's why we love those, you know, those mid-major conference championships, because you go there and you win that, and then you get a chance to go in there and try to wreak some havoc in the NCAA tournament. So that's kind of what this was, in my opinion. And so it's been a lot of fun to watch. It's been very intriguing, but I do feel for the Suns because you literally did everything correctly in this stage of the season, the Orlando stage of the season, and you just came up just short.
And that's why those first few dozen games before the shutdown were so important. But I do think, but you've got a point, and I don't know about what could happen in an 8-1 series with the Trailblazers if they advance. If they end up holding on to this 8 seed as they're expected to do so, it could be very compelling just because of how well Damian is playing. You know, can he steal some games against the Lakers and make that series interesting if it ends up being Portland and Los Angeles? And if LeBron James has to be thinking to himself, you've got to be kidding me, because it's looking like he's going to play a Grizzlies team where Jaren Jackson Jr. is out for the rest of the season. The team as a whole is not playing well. And Ja Morant, at times during the bubble play, has looked like a couple of the piles that Eric Kane's going to see on the sidewalk out there in Farragut this morning. But It's instead, he might have to face Damian Lillard, which Portland would be in a much better playoff position had they been healthy all season. So keep in mind, this is a team that just made the Western Conference Finals a year ago. So this is not a team that is devoid of talent, and Damian Lillard has easily been the bubble MVP. So it could be one of the more highly anticipated 8-1 first round playoff series that we've seen in recent memory. So, and we've seen 8 seeds beat 1 seeds before in the NBA. It doesn't happen often, but it happens. So
it's not like a 16 beating a 1 where we've only seen that happen one time.
Yeah.
That's just so far fetched. Thumbs up or thumbs down, Joel, to the bubble MVP and an all NBA bubble team?
Yeah, I mean, thumbs up. Why not? You know, you need something to get excited about, and you know, for the players to comply and make the bubble work. Sure, I don't have a problem with it. Because I do think it's worth noting. You know, the effort that the Suns put together and some of the good results that the Trailblazers have had with Damian Lillard. Would I count it in the same category as being an All NBA selection or a Defensive Player of the Year selection? No, of course not. And I don't think the players would either.
I just equate this as like a. I mean, really, just like a holiday tournament. They played
or an all-star MVP? MVP?
Maybe a little bit. Just certainly nothing that holds a candle to NBA regular season MVP or an all-NBA selection, as you pointed out. But it's fun. I mean, again, and I think you said it right there, you know, reward these players for, you know, going into the bubble and complying and not sneaking women into their rooms and not sneaking out, for the most part, and, you know, kind of following the rules so that, you know, we, the fans, can, you know, watch these games as entertainment and continue to do so. So it's a little bit of an award, you know, and hopefully this will never happen again. There'll never be another all-NBA bubble team. So thumbs up. I mean, you pointed out, too. I mean, Damian's the easiest selection here for the MVP for the bubble team.
Let's hope there's never another all-NBA Seriously. Bubble team.
Yeah.
And now the NBA is actually starting to reward the players. Saw reports yesterday that the NBA, I guess, is going to allow a couple of family members for each player, you know, come by and visit and have the chance to see their loved ones. So that would be awesome as we get, especially since some teams are being eliminated, frees up a little bit more space there in the bubble. So that would be, I think that would be really nice for the players, considering that they've already been there for several weeks down there in Orlando away from everybody else. So hopefully no positive tests and that the NBA postseason can progress as expected and as hoped for. Now moving into college basketball, Tennessee got a monster commitment yesterday from 5-star point guard Kennedy Chandler. He's from Memphis. He's going to play this upcoming season in Kansas, but a Memphis native choosing the Vols over Memphis, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. That's some pretty high company that Tennessee just went and stole a recruit over. And the comments that he made afterwards, I thought were really strong, saying, I'm always going to rep my city, but I'm going to play for my state. And if that's not in the slap in the face to Memphis fans, and I don't think Kennedy Chandler meant it that way, Tennessee fans meant it that way. That's big stuff for Rick Barnes, getting his first commitment of the 2021 class. And there could be a bit of a domino effect with a couple of other 5-star guys that Chandler is in the process of also trying to recruit to follow him to Tennessee.
The East Tennessee, West Tennessee, the Knoxville, Memphis hatred the last couple of years has been so much fun to watch. And, of course, Penny Hardaway is the main culprit in that. And, you know, his comments made 2 years ago, and then when he came to Knoxville this past season, he kind of went back on it and apologized and said, I was wrong. But, hey, Tennessee fans, don't forget what you said with the balled up fist. And what Tennessee football has done in the 2020 cycle. Remember, 10 in-state athletes signed to the football team for the 2020 cycle, 6 of which came from the Memphis area, from the Memphis area. And so for Tennessee to go into Memphis and get the top-rated point guard in the entire country, one of the best prospects, one of the top-rated prospects in the entire country, Kennedy Chandler, a 5-star, it's huge. Again, it's all about, you know, keeping that you know, talent in your state and bringing it back to the state school. But you're right. His comments saying, you know, I'll always rep my city, but I'm going to go play for the state, for my state. That's like a dagger to the Memphis folks there. But everybody over here in East Tennessee is loving it. And another pickup for Rick Barnes. He continues on this incredible stretch in the last, you know, 2 years of you brought in Josiah Jordan James, okay? Then you're signing Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, Corey Walker, Now you're working on, or now you have a commitment from Kennedy Chandler, and you're still going. So credit to Rick Barnes, credit to Kim English, who was instrumental in this process as well. And it's been a good week for it's been a good week and a half for Tennessee basketball. You got, of course, Eve Pons saying he's going to come back, and you know, came out of the NBA draft. Now you pick up this commit for Tennessee and Kennedy Chandler. The Vols basketball program certainly on an upwards trend for sure.
And right now working to, and Kennedy Chandler said afterwards, I'm looking to bring in Paolo Banchero, Jabari Smith, a couple of other five-star guys that Tennessee has been after, and those are more targets. Banchero, and both those guys are 6'10 big men. So you want to talk about replacing John Fulkerson and Eve Pons quickly, that's one way to do it. So Banchero, 6'10 forward out of Washington, number three overall player in the class of 2021. Smith, the fourth overall class player in the class. So you're talking about two top five players in the 2021 class to go along with the top point guard, adding two big men to that. Jabari Smith, I believe, checked in and was watching the Instagram Live announcement when
along with everybody else in the world, yeah. John Morant and company.
John Morant desperately pleading with Paul Biancardi of ESPN to follow Kennedy Chandler so that way they could get everything synced up. Did you did you watch the chaos that was the Instagram Live commitment?
Okay, so I didn't watch the stream, but I certainly saw screen grabs, I saw clips, I saw commentary all over social media yesterday, and so I saw a couple of the comments that were screen grabbed from John Morant pleading for him to follow him and, you know, offering his tech support here in 2020.
Yeah, it was chaos. We had Will Shelton of Game Day on Rocky Top on Sports 180 yesterday at 1:30, so about 5 minutes after Kennedy was finally able to make his announcement. He was supposed to do it at 1, and I asked Will about it, and Will said, man, this was crazy. I said, so did you end up seeing the announcement? For those who don't know, SportsCenter was trying to host Kennedy Chandler's announcement on his commitment on Instagram Live. The idea was is that they were going to start the live stream, then they were going to invite Kennedy to join the live stream. The problem is unknowing to Paul Biancardi, the SportsCenter Instagram account was not following Kennedy Chandler, so they could not do a joint live stream. So Chandler did his own live stream, and then Paul Biancardi joined that and explained on the live stream, hey, you know what happened? SportsCenter wasn't following you. So this whole thing completely undone because nobody at ESPN apparently knows how to use an Instagram account. But after the announcement, I'm talking to Will Shelton before he joins Josh and Heather, and he says, I stared at this guy's face for 15 minutes and then it kicked me off the live stream. I'm like, well, that's because Kennedy Chandler ended up hosting the live stream because he gave up. So Will Shelton missed the announcement after spending 15, 20 minutes trying to track down everything that was going on. So yeah, probably frustrating technologically for some, but those that were able to keep up with it, a lot of people were able to check in and see Kennedy Chandler announce his commitment to Tennessee. Kind of worried a couple Tennessee fans at first because you see the Tennessee hat on the table in front of him, and then he reaches under the table and pulls out a gray cap that has the Power T on it. So for a split second there, I think some Vol fans were getting a little bit nervous, but he ends up committing to Tennessee, and now the Volunteers are on the recruiting board for the 2021 recruiting class. You've got two five-stars coming in for the upcoming season from the class of 2020. And so now you're looking at Rick Barnes. It's the third year in a row he's gotten at least one five-star recruit. Josiah Jordan-James was in the class of 2019. He has the fifth-ranked recruiting class for the class of 2020. And if he's able to land Banchero and Smith, you are likely talking about at worst, I think a top three class for 2021. Rick Barnes is on another level with Tennessee recruiting the last couple of years.
Yeah, he is. And again, let's go back to Chandler here. You see that hat on the table and you see the Power T. You look over, you see a Duke hat. You look over, you see a Carolina hat. You look over, you see a Kentucky hat. guys, I mean, 5-6 years ago, I mean, could we even picture a scenario where, you know, Tennessee is beating out those schools? And, you know, I don't want to go ahead and say consistently.
Can we envision a scenario where Tennessee is in the room with those
schools? Yeah, yeah, you know, even on the table. And, again, this isn't a consistent thing yet. Now, Rick Barnes is recruiting at a tremendous pace. And, on again, as you pointed out, we've got the Josiah Jordan James. We've got the three coming in the class of 2020. And now, you know, Chandler and maybe even more. So the building blocks are being laid right now for this program, hopefully for years to come. But, I mean, again, you go back 5-6 years, even on the table, wouldn't even be a thought. And Tennessee is now getting these guys. And so, again, just, you know, hats off to Rick Barnes and to Kim English. Kim English was absolutely instrumental in this process, and again, he's not done yet. So, you know, where Tennessee basketball program could potentially be, you know, fingers crossed, if we have a normal season this year, could be wanting to make some noise, and then next year, depending on who stays and who goes, you'll add Chandler into the mix, and Tennessee should be right back trying to knock on the door on a deep postseason run once again.
Chandler averaged 22 points per game last year playing in high school. And again, he's getting a transfer to Sunrise Christian Academy in Kansas, but a top 15 player in the class, the number one overall point guard, both in the state of Tennessee and in the top point guard in the entire class with the 11th prospect overall. So just big stuff there for Tennessee. And I think, too, you brought up a good point. Could we have envisioned this a few years ago? Rick Barnes lost 19 games in his first year at Tennessee. Now, he has said that he doesn't believe that that would have happened if Kevin Punter doesn't get injured. Yeah. But what we're seeing, what we saw at first was, okay, he took a bunch of three-star guys. There were no four-stars on the team except DJ Burns. That was his redshirt year. So a bunch of three-star guys develops them into being a Sweet 16 team. And that was considered a disappointment because of how deep they were. You're talking about Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Jordan Bone, all drafted into the NBA.
Was Pons on a four-star by at least one publication?
I think overall he was considered a three-star recruit. He might have been a four-star by one publication or another. I don't know. DJ Burns was the only composite four-star recruit that was on the roster, and he redshirted that season. And then never actually played for Tennessee. He transferred to Winthrop last year, so he was a starter there, but it's a team full of three stars that Tennessee's not exactly beating out North Carolina and Duke for those schools. I mean, Tennessee beat out Davidson to get Grant Williams and then had to convince his mom to let him go somewhere that wasn't Yale or Harvard. So, and trust me, Grant would have excelled in the Ivy League, both on and off the court. But you're talking about Admiral Schofield, who acknowledged, "I was fat when I got to Tennessee." And you look at him now, and that's not what you think. He had a brother that played in the NFL. Now Schofield just finished up a regular season with the Washington Wizards. Grant Williams was just playing, you know, the other day, just grabbed 8 rebounds for Boston in a game against Washington. So you take all these three-star guys and elevate them not just into becoming a really good basketball team, but becoming a bunch of guys becoming NBA prospects, with one more on there with Eve Pons, who was considering going to the draft. John Fulkerson is suddenly a legitimate offensive weapon in the paint.
And of course, you're going to have Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson going to be knocking down the door to the NBA draft this upcoming year. And then here we'll have Chandler. So again, the cycle's kind of continuing year by year by year for Tennessee basketball.
So you're adding that five-star talent. You're right. Those guys that can make an immediate impact. And before, I think you were looking at it as, okay, we know Rick Barnes can develop, but it's going to take him a couple years to really do that. So Tennessee can set itself up where every two or three seasons, it's going to be a really high-quality team. And then you might have back-to-back years if you get enough underclassmen that decide, okay, we're going to come back for our junior, our senior year. And that's what you had in 2015, 2016. Now, 2015 was a surprise to everybody. Tennessee was picked to finish 13th in the SEC. It finished 13th in the country. It ended up being a three seed in the NCAA tournament. It lost to the Final Four Cinderella in Loyola Chicago. Or not 2015, but three seasons ago. Now I'm getting football and basketball mixed up.
Spring of 2018, winter of 2018.
Yes, and then the following season, in the 2018-2019 year, you've got everybody except James Daniel III coming back. So you have all five starters coming back. Everybody's a year better. Everybody's a year developed. Admiral Schofield's gone through the NBA process. He's gotten advice from NBA officials. Jordan Bone becomes even more of a focal point of the offense. Kyle Alexander becomes more of an impact on the glass and offensively. And now you're talking about, okay, the expectations, the Final Four. Tennessee was ranked in the top six in the AP poll every week throughout the entire course of the season. Lost in the Sweet 16 in overtime to Purdue. That was a huge disappointment, but that's the progression that the program has achieved. And then, of course, it was expected that, okay, Tennessee's going to take a step back this year, and then the following year should be really good because you're going to have Josiah Jordan James, and you're going to have some of these other guys that have to step up and learn to be role players. Okay, well, then you add this recruiting class, and now the expectation this year is that Tennessee's going to be a top 15 team. Gary Parrish joined Sports Talk earlier this month and said, yeah, I think Tennessee could be potentially playing into the last game of the season. I don't think they're right there that right now, but they could potentially play their way into that because they have the talent to do it. And I was listening to Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander, both of CBS Sports, give analysis earlier a couple weeks ago, and they were not talking about Tennessee, but just talking about other key players that were returning for other schools. And they said, look, the best teams in the country aren't the ones where you get all these five-star guys coming in. Like, every once in a while, you know, that Duke class from a couple years ago with Zion, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett, those can impact the top of college basketball when they're that good. But for the most part, the teams that you really see making deep runs into the tournament is when, even if it's not guys that are for sure going to get drafted, when you have borderline guys like Eve Pons in Tennessee's case, when you have borderline guys like Eve Pons that could go, that either justifiably go to the NBA or justifiably return to college, when you have guys like that that return to college, those schools end up being immensely better and more prepared to win and make longer runs in the NCAA tournament. So Eve Pons coming back is huge for Tennessee, but now you're adding legitimate five-star talent, multiple five-star players, plus a four-star in Corey Walker. You've got Keon Johnson, Jane Springer. John Fulkerson is back.
Yeah, I was going to say, John Fulkerson, who I don't think anybody could have imagined him progressing the way he has when he stepped foot on campus, battled some injuries early on, inconsistent play, just trying to wait for his chance, and then got that chance. He and Eve Pons got that chance this year, and Fulkerson exploded. So not a highly touted recruit, not going to be a highly touted NBA prospect. He'll have a chance potentially, but John Fulkerson coming back is ginormous for Tennessee as well. So you add in all that five-star talent, you add in Eve Pons coming back after getting a little cup of coffee in the NBA and going throughout that process. Then you have John Fulkerson, and so, I mean, that just continues to this Tennessee team was not very experienced in terms of, you know, having a, like, the guy last year. Yeah, you had 2,000-point scores, but, you know, one was injured and left. One had the worst shooting year of his career. Yeah, you had Pons who played some. Yeah, you had Fulkerson who played some. Now you have guys who are, like, the guys coming back. The defensive player in the conference is coming back. John Fulkerson, all-SEC player, is coming back. And so it's a different situation for sure. And, I think Tennessee basketball is just in a really – really good situation right now.
Yeah. So you look at the talent that he's bringing in, because now he's Barnes is going to continue to develop that 3 and 4 star talent. Being able to bring in the 5 star talent and maximize it even further, that's going to take Tennessee to a whole nother step. And so it could be interesting to see what happens really this season, especially depending on the parameters of what happens. And Mark Emmert, by the way, has expressed that the bubble could be a viable option for college basketball in the NCAA tournament, which would be a really big step if the NCAA was willing to go in that direction to make a college basketball season happen. But especially the following year, hopefully the coronavirus is a thing of the past by then.
Yeah,
but if we've
hopefully.
Got a 2021-2022 college basketball season, and let's say for the sake of argument, you don't have 2 1-and-dones on this Tennessee roster right now. If Josiah Jordan James were to come back for his junior year, even if he wasn't, you're talking Santiago Vescovi. You're talking about more depth at the backcourt. You're talking about either Keon Johnson, Corey Walker, or Jaden Springer, two of those three guys, and then Kennedy Chandler coming in. What if Paolo Banchero's there? There's just
Victor
so
Bailey
many.
Jr., right?
Yes, and you're just talking about so many options for what Tennessee could have the next two seasons. Rick Barnes, the way he's been able to recruit is really setting Tennessee up to where they don't have to, okay, we're going to have 2 good seasons, then we're going to have a couple of bad seasons where we got to rebuild, and then recruiting's going to really carry us the next season, and then we might get lucky and really be able to push for it. No, you're seeing Tennessee be a consistent contender atop the SEC and towards the top of the country in college basketball. And that is big for Rick Barnes. 656-9900 if you want to join us. Coming up, you're going to hear that conversation that Kennedy Chandler had on our radio station yesterday on Sports Talk. Tennessee's newest basketball commit for the 2021 class, the number one point guard in the country. It is all, you're going to hear all of that coming up next. And I am here in the Budweiser Studios at Cumulus Broadcasting at WNML headquarters. Eric Kane, you are out at the Village Green Shopping Center this morning.
Yeah, Dog Days 4 events. It's a nationally sanctioned region canine aquatics competition. Let me just say right now, okay, they're already, the dogs are kind of, you know, going up on the ramp and taking their jumps into the pool and retrieving. And there are some dogs here, most dogs here, that can catch better than some of the guys on Saturdays. Let me just say that. It's a lot of fun. They're starting their warm-ups, and it's starting to get crowded out here. But it's out here at the Village Green Shopping Center. That's 11505 Kingston Pike in Farragut. It's the parking lot just south of Stein Mart and Planet Fitness. It's going to be all-day event, rain or shine, so come on out and hang out.
With Eric Kane, I'm Joel Silverberg. It's Saturday Sports Talk. Kennedy Chandler's comments coming up next right here on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal. With Eric Kane, I'm Joel Silverberg. Logan Ward producing this morning from the Budweiser Studios at Cumulus Broadcasting. I am in the Budweiser Studios with Logan. Eric Kane is not. He is out in Farragut at the Village Green Shopping Center because there is a huge canine event going on this morning, Eric.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It got going yesterday. It's going to be happening all day today, all day tomorrow. It is the Dog Days 4 event. Again, it's a sanctioned regional canine aquatics competition. Over 150 dogs competing in three events, the big air, the extreme vertical, and the speed retrieve. And I told you guys before we went to break, these dogs are starting to take their warm-ups in the speed retrieve, and a lot of them can catch better than a lot of the wide receivers that play on Sunday. But so many wonderful organizations have helped put on this event and do each and every year, and right now we're going to visit with one of them. We have Ashley from the Volunteer State Doberman Rescue. Ashley, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You guys, tell us a little bit about what you guys do, about your organization and how you came to be a part of this event.
Well, the Volunteer State was started in April of 2018 by a group of volunteers. We, of course, are a nonprofit, and we're a foster-based organization. Everything we do, we rely on our foster homes. Our slogan is providing second chances. That's our first priority, is second chances for these animals. So we pull them out of sometimes pretty rough situations. Some are sad stories and some are not so bad. But like today, we have a transport going on. I've worked on this week organizing. Kimba is coming from Jacksonville, North Carolina, so she'll be making her way all the way to Tennessee today, getting her in a foster home, rehabilitated, and into a new family.
And you guys have, I mean, you mentioned North Carolina. I hear there's a group coming up from Florida today. Is that right? And kind of from all over the region?
I believe all over, yeah. And so, like, our fosters, we're based through Tennessee, but we do have fosters in surrounding states, Georgia, Kentucky, yeah. North Carolina, so... We try to be based out of Tennessee, but you know what? When we're dealing with these dogs, whatever we can do to give them that second chance and that happy home.
What is your, of course, I would assume you've been to this event before, and what's something for if people are listening on the radio right now and they want to come out and kind of take part in this event here today, what's something they should be on the lookout for?
Definitely the dogs, watching the event. That's the super cool. This is our second year we've been here, yeah, with it. And our booth, we have the best position to watch this event because we're on the corner. We can watch as these dogs are jumping straight at us. So it's pretty cool. So, of course, the dogs. And then there's all kinds of vendors here. Mm-hmm. Everybody that's here loves dogs. We want the best for them. So dog lover or not, if you just want to come watch some great sports, get on out here.
We were hungry for some sports for quite some time. So literally, I could have seen myself out here for sure a couple months ago, but I'm happy to be out here right now, and I'm going to be hanging out here today. Again, this is Ashley from the Volunteer State Doberman Rescue. And Ashley, as we kind of wrap things up here, if we want to be a part of your organization, if we want to learn more, where can we find information about your organization?
Well, there's a couple places. Of course, we have our own website. It's a vsdr.org. We're also on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and I think we've got a Twitter going too. But yeah, follow us on Facebook. That's where you're going to find our most updates. If you want to adopt, if you want to foster, go to our website, fill out a form. We'll get you lined up and then ready to go.
Awesome. Well, again, that's Ashley from the Volunteer State at Doberman Rescue, one of the many organizations that help put on this event each and every year. Ashley, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.
Joel, again, there's just one of many great organizations that are going to be here. I've been able to bump elbows with a couple of them and say my hellos. And, again, it's starting to heat up here. More and more people are starting to come, and the Dogs continue to get their practice reps in.
Yeah, they sound excited over there because I can hear them through the background over of your PA. So, but it's great, and it's a great cause, and it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, a bunch of different events. You're talking about the speed retrieve, so how quickly a dog can swim in a 40-foot long pool. The big air measures jump distance, and then the extreme vertical, how high a dog can jump. And I think if you've never seen one of these before, you'll be pretty surprised at the lengths and the speeds that some of these dogs have. So it sounds like a fun event. Again, Eric's out there in the Village Green Shopping Center. He'll be there till 10 o'clock while he hangs out during Saturday Sports Talk. 11505 Kingston Pike in Farragut in the parking lot just south of Steinmart and Planet Fitness. Tennessee got a commitment yesterday from Kennedy Chandler, the number one point guard in the class of 2021. He joined Sports Talk yesterday with Jimmy Hyams and Vince Ferrara. Here's that conversation with Kennedy Chandler.
What led to you deciding to make your announcement today?
Well, you know, I talked to my family about it, and we talked about it for a while. You know, we just felt like it was the right time for me to go and make my decision.
Why Tennessee? What did you like about Tennessee and the culture?
You know, Tennessee, you know, Rick Barnes, a great head coach. Coach English has been recruiting me, and, you know, he has some great point guards that play for him, DJ Augustine. TJ Ford, will player of the year, so he's got some great guards that played for him and made it to the league.
Tell me about your relationship with Kim English.
You know, I got a good relationship with him. Ever since they started recruiting me, our relationship just started getting better and better by us watching film and just us calling each other on a regular basis.
Kenny, how much of an impact was it the fact that Tennessee's shown the ability to really develop guys and now start to get those guys going towards into the NBA?
You know, that's a big major factor, you know, them getting better. That's a big priority that's a big priority that I chose for me to go to Tennessee to develop and get better every day and for me to make it to the league.
Describe how real the coaches at Tennessee were with you in the process about, you know, just how hard you're going to get coached and how, you know, maybe to check your ego at the door if you want to get better at UT.
Well, you know, they said they're going to push me to be the best player I can be and for me to be a leader on the court. And they said I need a PG. And, you know, I got to start the way from coming to Tennessee and be the first one and build a national team, you know, recruit some more players.
How have you thought about the possibility of you and Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer all be potentially being on the court together at some point at the University of Tennessee?
Yeah, I hope so. If they don't go one and done, you know, it depends if there will be a season or they'll still go to the draft or not.
Mm-hmm. Our guest Kennedy Chandler commits to Tennessee earlier. Kennedy, the number one ranked point guard in the country. Kennedy, just talk about the things that you feel like you need to improve upon this upcoming high school season before you get to Tennessee.
You know, for me, going to Sunrise is something I could get better. Go to the gym every day to get better, work on my game, and just develop my game and get bigger and stronger to get ready for college.
One of the scouts that we talked to said he thinks you're a terrific penetrator and you do a great job of finding the open man. Would you consider that to be among your strengths as a point guard?
Yes, sir. That's the first thing I do. I'm looking forward to finding all my teammates open first, getting everybody involved.
What about your three-point shot? Do you feel comfortable with it, or do you think you could improve there?
I'm making more comfortable with it. That's one thing I was going to play this summer. That's one thing I've been improving on, and I want people to show that I can shoot the ball. They know I can shoot, but I want them to show that it's gotten better.
Kennedy, that you mentioned leadership earlier. How natural is leadership for you? Is that something that has developed in your time playing basketball?
You know, leadership is a big role for a PG, just like a QB on the football field, and that's something that I've been working on. And me coming right now, showing the leadership by me recruiting more players to come to UT.
What do you want Tennessee fans to know about Kennedy Chandler, the person that's coming to the University of Tennessee?
That I'm going to bring energy and excitement to the Thomas Bowling Arena, and I'm looking forward to going to the Final Four and winning the national championship.
How soon do you think you can do that once you get on campus right away?
Say that again.
How soon do you think you can accomplish that? You have that kind of expectation at UT as soon as you get on campus?
Well, for me, that's one thing I'm looking forward to in college is going to the Final Four, winning a championship. So my mindset is all about winning, and that's what I like doing, and that's what I'm looking forward to doing at UT.
Our guest, Kennedy Chandler, number one rated point guard in the country, committed earlier to the University of Tennessee. Kennedy, I've seen you play. I know how great you are on the court. How good of a recruiter are you?
I think I'm doing a great job recruiting Paulo and Jabbar right now. So I think I'm a great recruiter, and I think I can bring them along to UT.
So what makes you a great recruiter?
Just the way, because most people like playing with me because I'm a great point guard and I find my teammates open. I'm just a fun guy, a fun teammate.
So you tell them that this is to them so they can score points, right?
I mean, not necessarily, you know. It's not all about me getting them open. It's about the relationship I got with them and me finding them open.
I did want to ask you this. With the coronavirus that's out there, I'm sure that limited the amount of perhaps workouts or the AAU circuit and so forth. Did you feel like, even with all that going on, that you were able to somehow improve your game during the summer?
Yes, I've been improving my game all summer, just getting better at my three-point and my floater game and basically my all-around. You know, I've had a lot of time to work out, and I've been working out twice a day and getting better.
Kennedy, talk about your relationship with a couple of Tennessee football guys and Amari Thomas and Jabari Small, and if that played any kind of role in you coming to UT.
I mean, some people think that played a role, but, you know, I was talking to them about it. If I didn't go to UT, they would still be my brothers. But fortunately, we ended up all going to the same school, and I've known them ever since I was in second grade, me and my family. So that's just both of them my best friends, my brothers for life, and it's going to be an awesome year, and I can't wait to see them down there at UT.
I saw Ja Morant from the Grizzlies give you a shout-out. How much have you gotten a chance to talk or get to know Ja Morant?
You know, Ja Morant, that's my big brother, you know. Ever since he came down here, you know, he's been a big role model to me and a big brother, you know. His dad taught me stuff. He taught me stuff ever since he's been down here, and you know, he just a big brother to me. I call him anytime if I need any advice, him and his dad.
You mentioned in your video announcing your commitment that you will always rep your city of Memphis, but you wanted to play for your state. Talk about why that's so important for you to do those two things.
You know, just city of Memphis, you know, top Memphis and Tennessee, or Memphis and the Tennessee are rivals, but, you know, I will always represent, you know, Memphis, you know, no hate Memphis, but, you know, I will always represent them. I would love this city.
Kennedy Chandler is our guest, number one rated point guard in the country, committed to Tennessee. Kennedy, have you watched a lot of the NBA games in the bubble down in Orlando?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of games ever since they started watching.
When you watch the NBA games, do you kind of focus on the point guards and see what they're doing and say, okay, that's something I'd like to incorporate into my game?
Yes, you know, that's something I watch. My favorite player, Chris Paul. I watch Ja, Damian Lillard, and, you know, those guards I look up to and watch film on.
How about what Lillard's doing? That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, he's averaging 51 points in three games, so. My boy 12 got a deal tomorrow. He got a deal tomorrow and lock him down.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting to watch. Okay, Kennedy, thank you so much. Really do appreciate you taking the time to join us. Congratulations on your commitment to Tennessee, and we certainly look forward to covering you while you're evolved. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kennedy.
No problem. Go Vols.
Kennedy Chandler, the newest 2021 commitment for Tennessee basketball, and a top 15 player in the entire class, the top point guard in the entire class for the class of 2021. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on hour number one to today's edition of Saturday Sports Talk. I'm Joel Silverberg with Logan Ward producing this morning from the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting. Eric Kane out at the Village Green Shopping Center, 11505 Kingston Pike and Farragut, in the parking lot just south of Steinmart and Planet Fitness for Dog Days 4, the nationally sanctioned regional canine aquatics competition that's running all weekend. You can see dogs compete in the Big Air, Extreme Vertical, and Speed Retrieve. 150 dogs competing in the canine aquatics competition. We'll come back for the final segment of hour number one next on Saturday Sports Talk, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Final segment to hour number one of Saturday Sports Talk. Eric Kane out in Farragut. Me, Joel Silverberg, here at the Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Broadcasting. You just heard an interview with Kennedy Chandler on Sports Talk yesterday. And, of course, you can stream and download all of our podcasted interviews, show hours, all of that available on the Sports Radio WNML app and on our website, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find the Sports Animal right there. Eric, any news on the warm-ups? How are they going out there in Farragut for Dog Days 4?
I mean, the dogs are lining up. They're taking their runs off the ramp and jumping into the big old pool area, retrieving stuff that their owners are throwing to them. So it's looking like a lot of fun. Again, the crowd is beginning to increase by the minute, as you can hear a lot of background noise, I'm sure, with some music playing. But looks like the dogs are getting ready to go. And, of course, you know, today, it started yesterday. It's going to be going on through tomorrow. But today apparently is the big day. I mean, this is when the big jumps happen. And you're going to get the big three jumps here today that we mentioned earlier, the big air, the extreme vertical, the speed retrieve. And you kind of mentioned it before break about the dogs, over 150, but these dogs competitions, they draw crowds from all over the world. And the annual competition right here in Farragut, even though it's rainy today, again, rain or shine, these dogs are going to jump. It's going to be no exception whatsoever. And so there's so much to do here. There's vendors, there's concession stand between events. It's a free, absolutely free admission, and it's all out here for the Dog Days 4 event in the Village Green Shopping Center, 11505 Kingston Pike in Farragut, all day long here today. Come out and see me.
So some news that kind of came out overnight in Major League Baseball. A Cincinnati Reds player tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday, which is likely going to lead to the Reds game against the Pirates today to not happen. So the teams were informed of the positive test after their game in Cincinnati on Friday. The reported positive came on the eve of the St. Louis Cardinals, who have not played since July 29th, returning to the field against the Chicago White Sox. So, Eric, what is your confidence level that we're able to have enough teams in Major League Baseball play a sufficient number of games so that the season can kind of complete in a somewhat fair fashion when we get into the postseason?
Well, I'm still fairly confident that we can get there. Now, the Cardinals, as we all know, have so much ground to make up. So you got the Cardinals, who are 2-3 on the year. They played 5 total games. They haven't played since July the 29th. And so I think at some point, you can only play so many doubleheader or 7-inning ball games in a row. At some point, you are going to have to cut off, like, say, okay, you know, St. Louis or, you know, Major League Baseball, you've got to play. You have to have 50 of the 60 games completed in order to be eligible for the postseason. And again, this is a lot of the times, I mean, this is out of all of our controls, especially if you're following the rules, you're following the protocols, you're doing what you're supposed to, and the games get canceled because you have an outbreak in the locker room. So I do feel for the Cardinals, I really do, but they're going to be trying to make up some ground. But I do think at some point, Rob Manfred will have to step in. The player union will have to come together and say, okay, you've got to play 50 of the 60 in order to be eligible. Because you see in Miami, Miami's coming back, and they're playing doubleheaders, and they've been playing consistently for over a week now, and they're kind of on their way back. But the Cardinals have a long way to go. And it's unfortunate because you bring up Cincinnati. You know, today, Saturday, was going to be the first time in about, 17 days that all 30 Major League Baseball teams are going to be out there playing together. And now with the Cincinnati the positive test in Cincinnati's camp, that game is up in the air today as well, because the Cardinals are supposed to get back onto the field today. So I'm still confident. I really am. I mean, the Atlanta Braves that, you know, played, opened up the season with 20 straight games. and did a nice job with no outbreaks. And, I mean, Atlanta has played the most games in the league so far, just got an off day on Thursday. But on the other end of the spectrum, you have the St. Louis Cardinals again, who have completed five games. So some maneuvering will have to be accomplished, but I'm still pretty confident that we can see the postseason baseball from the majority of our teams being eligible.
And ESPN had posted a graphic earlier this week that the Marlins had 48 games remaining and 45 days to complete them. So a lot of these seven-inning doubleheaders, which I like the seven-inning doubleheaders.
It's minor league, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're quick. I think they work. The issue is that if you've got teams playing a bunch of them, you're talking about starting pitchers having to go a little bit more frequently than they're accustomed to. Granted, for a shorter period of time in the long run, but could that become a problem as we get later into the season if pitchers, starting pitchers especially, are going to have to make more starts a little bit more frequently?
Oh, absolutely, Joel. And you're seeing, because of the... You start spring training, then you're off for, 4 months. And then you come back and you have a summer camp. You have 17 days of summer camp, and then boom, regular season go. You're seeing these pitchers, specifically starting pitchers, all across the league getting hurt, getting injured. Look at the Atlanta Braves. Again, five starting pitchers they were counting on this year are either hurt or one of them opted out in Felix Hernandez. So for the Atlanta Braves, you have one starting pitcher that you really feel good about in Max Fried. If Atlanta had to play multiple doubleheaders, in a week or, down the line, a team like Atlanta would really, really suffer. But just overall, the more doubleheaders you play, you do get another player to come up from your alternate training sites for the doubleheader game that day or for the day, really. But it will really take a toll on your starting pitching and your bullpen as well, because a lot of times you'll throw a starter out there for game one. You'll have a bullpen game. You'll have a, and Joel, you'll have a Division II, Division III small college bullpen game there in the second half of that doubleheader. And so the pitching can certainly be taxing in these doubleheaders despite them only being seven-inning affairs.
And then when it gets out of hand, you send in your second baseman to close out the night. But
position player pitching!
So you're pro position player pitching?
I love seeing it. I hate when my team is getting beat by 15 runs and I see Charlie Culberson go out there. But any other team, I love it. I think it's hilarious.
Culberson has a breaking ball, man. Culberson could strike somebody out.
Who was it? I mean, it was back in the day. Do you remember Adam LaRoche? He used to play first base for Atlanta 10 years ago. Okay, so I remember one time he was getting interviewed, and I'll make this brief, but it was when, obviously Bobby Cox is managing. And Atlanta was getting beat, by 10 runs or whatever. And Adam LaRoche kept walking by Bobby Cox just so he could see him, just walking back and forth. And they asked him after the game. He was like, yeah, I just kept walking in front of Bobby because I wanted to let him know I was ready. I wanted to go in there and throw some. So I think that it's a lot of fun for these guys to get out there and pitch. And obviously you take pride in it because a lot of major league position players and outfielders, I mean, at one point in time, whether it be in high school, maybe even in college, these guys pitch too, and they still think they have it. So I'm definitely pro position players pitching.
656-9900 if you want to join us. I'm Joel Silverberg. He's Eric Kane out at Dog Days 4, the nationally sanctioned regional canine aquatics competition that's taking place all weekend at the Village Green Shopping Center, 11505 Kingston Pike and Farragut, in the parking lot just south of Steinmart and Planet Fitness. We will come back with hour number two. We'll tell you something good on the other side as well on Saturday Sports Talk, FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.